Our next speaker is Cameron Reed of Elmont College, Michigan.
No, it's up on top.
Persistent Manhattan Project statistical.
Thank you for sacrificing part of your lunch hour for this. If there is a minimum quantum of physics history, this will be it. Okay, you're going to see the minimum H of physics history. This is an arcane sub part of the World War II Manhattan Project with a curious statistic that appears to trace back to Major General Kenneth Nichols. Nichols was General Groves's essentially second in command. His formal title was the district engineer of the Manhattan Engineer District, and he had his headquarters at Oak Ridge. Whoops. And if you read his memoirs, which were published about 10 years before his death, he remarks that when the facilities at Oak Ridge were complete, they were consuming about 1/7 of the electrical power in the United States. And those facilities included electromagnetic separation of isotopes, gaseous diffusion, liquid thermal diffusion, and the X-10 pilot scale graphite reactor. And when I read this, I was just astounded that I knew these were big facilities, but 14% of the electricity in the country struck me as rather fantastic, given the other energy-intensive war industries that must have been going on at the time. And unfortunately, this has become sort of lore. There's a nice, you might be familiar, if you're into the history of this, the DOE has published a little paperback, 8.5 by 11 book, by the, Frank Gosling is the chief historian of DOE, where this statistic is reiterated, and the reference is to Nichols' book. It's otherwise a very nice little paperback summary of the entire project. Now, the electrical consumption at Oak Ridge was fantastic, and by far the biggest consumer was the electromagnetic separation plant. And this, if you're not familiar with this, this funny-looking oval structure, which is about 100 feet long, was a succession of magnets and vacuum tanks within which the uranium isotopes were separated. And these things consumed vast amounts of electricity. The linear structure you see across the top actually contained a giant about square foot silver bus bar to distribute current down to the magnets within these tanks. And they use some 14,000 tons of silver just to make the coil windings for the magnets. So this was an enormous consumer of electricity. Here's a photograph. It's a little difficult to see, but it shows you part of the electrical switchyard facility at Oak Ridge. And there is a person that looks like a human being right there. It gives you some sense of the scale of the thing. So anyway, I got curious, wondering, well, where did this 1/7 figure come from, and does it have any credibility? And, you know, you can find things online so readily now. The Census Bureau has a lot of the statistical abstracts information available online, and you can look up figures very readily for national electricity generation during that period. And it grew in billions of kilowatt hours, almost doubled over the first couple years of the war, and then remained pretty steady from about 1943 to 45. When most of the construction and operation were taking place at Oak Ridge, at about 275 billion kilowatt hours annually. And then there are also statistics available on what was used at Oak Ridge. And there's a very good book by Vincent Jones on the role of the Army in the Manhattan Project, where he gives exhaustive detail on this sort of thing. And the relevant statistic is that by the time of the end of the war, in August 1945, Oak Ridge was consuming, rather the peak energy use, was about 200 million kilowatt hours for the month of August 1945. And if you dig into the Manhattan District microfilms, you can find detailed statistics on the consumption on the part of the facility which was known as Y-12, which was the electromagnetic separation facility itself. And that consumed about two-thirds of the total power. So if you multiply the blue line by about 1.5, you get some figure approaching the total energy consumption. Nichols' one-seventh figure seems to be completely out to lunch. 1.5 times the electromagnetic consumption would come to about 1% of the national power production during that time, about 0.9% if you look at the numbers a little more carefully. He's out by about a factor of 15. And so I began to wonder, where did this 1/7 come from? 1/70 didn't make any sense. There just didn't seem to be any sort of, on the national level, any sort of rationale for this. Well, as it turns out, I sort of had a hunch about this, and I contacted a historian at the Tennessee Valley Authority, and they have some detailed statistics on the history of this, and she was very helpful. And it turns out that probably what Nichols was referring to was 1/7 of the capacity of the Tennessee Valley Authority, and the green the green line there shows the evolution, millions of kilowatt hours as a function of time delivered by the TVA, divided by 7. The blue line is identical to what was on the previous graph, but scaled by a factor of 50% to get a rough estimate of the entire Oak Ridge consumption, which in August of 1945 hit right around 200 million kilowatt hours. So my guess is, my speculation is that Nichols had in mind the TVA, not the entire national electricity production. Maybe he was going for a promotion. But I think actually by the time his memoirs were published, he was retired. So I suspect that's the origin of the 1/7 figure. But pretty staggering nonetheless to be consuming nearly 1% of electricity production in the entire country. The TVA itself was producing about 8% of national electricity production at that time. So this is still very substantial figures. And an interesting sort of thing to track down. I did contact the DOE. They probably aren't going to publish the book in physical form in the future, but apparently we'll make an effort to correct this on their website. I have a couple. Do I have a few more minutes? Okay. So for this part, I'd like to thank Ray Smith, who is the Y-12 project historian at Oak Ridge and has been very helpful in helping me track down some of these obscure things, and Patricia Ezel, who is the corporate historian for the Tennessee Valley Authority. So I spent a lot of time trolling through Manhattan District microfilms, just looking for interesting stuff, and a lot of it's just sort of bureaucratic. But one thing related to Oak Ridge that did catch my attention when I came across it a while ago, so I'm sort of shifting hats here. One of the purposes of the graphite reactor that was built there was to produce plutonium for people at Oak Ridge to characterize its fission properties and metallurgy and this sort of thing before the Hanford reactors were constructed and went online. And I'd often wondered, how much plutonium did they produce? And one can find, if you troll through the microfilms deeply enough, One can find in a top secret appendix, what was then top secret, declassified in, I think it was sometime in the later 1950s. There it is, 1958. The plutonium production record of the X-10 graphite reactor. That reactor went critical in November of 1943. Enrico Fermi put in the first slug, as was appropriate, and they quickly began producing plutonium. By the start of 1945, the Hanford reactors were beginning to come online. And so that phase of the Oak Ridge production was wrapping up. But by that time, they produced about 326 grams of plutonium. You know, on the order of maybe a third of a pound or thereabouts, the vast majority of which went to Site Y, which was Los Alamos. But the neutron flux of that reactor was not sufficient, apparently, to create a sufficient amount of plutonium-240. So with that plutonium, they did not discover the spontaneous fission problem of plutonium-240. That came later. No, I have to back up. The spontaneous fission crisis did occur in the summer of 1944. I got my chronology a little fouled up there, and that it was at that point. So they must have gotten some indication of that from this pile-produced plutonium. And that was when Oppenheimer had to reorganize Los Alamos intensely to deal with the implosion problem. Another, and this is completely sort of off the topic, but anyway, I thought that was sort of interesting, 300 grams of plutonium these guys produced. Recently, an acquaintance of mine came across in General Nichols' records a complete roster of scientific personnel of the Manhattan Project, which dated from 1946. And it lists, I estimate, about 4,000 names. But it's fascinating to kind of flip through it because you scroll down through this massive typewritten list of scientific personnel, which included scientists, military people who were considered scientists, and industrial contractors. But one can scroll down through this and you come across, you know, most of the names are anonymous, but then you come across a Hans Bethe or a Lyman Briggs, and the rosters list the individual, what contractor they were working for, what was their home address, all this sort of thing. Perhaps even an Enrico Fermi, whose home address was listed as New York. A little further down, Anthony French appears on the list. Feynman doesn't, curiously. I looked for Feynman, and he did not appear on the list, so it's presumably not a complete list. Klaus Fuchs, given as a permanent resident of Birmingham, England. And, whoops, there is a separate list of military personnel in which General Groves appears. So these are sort of fascinating things to troll through, and I don't think this is going to have great historical impact, but it's sort of fun to look at. Anyway, I'm sure everybody needs to get some lunch. So I will wrap it up at this point. Oh, sorry.
Last slide, I was perplexed. It says, is that University of California in San Jose, New Mexico?
Yes.
We still run those elements.
Why would someone believe that University of California would open up?
If you look through those lists, UCal appears as having Berkeley and Santa Fe branch offices.
Okay. The University of California administered Los Alamos for decades.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh yes, they were the
okay.
It wasn't until just a few years ago. They maintained that contract until just a few years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there still a partial contract?
I think they're still partially involved. Yeah.
They're private consortium that runs the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
It was never officially called UCal Santa Fe.
No, that was it was a post office box in Santa Fe.
If I read the graph correctly, the electrical use at Oak Ridge dropped off sharply right after the war. Did they then not? Were they not continuing to separate uranium?
After the war, by that time, the gaseous diffusion method was becoming more efficient for isolating 235, and so they shut down much of the electromagnetic facility at that point. Although some of those magnets operated into the 1990s to isolate isotopes for medical use.
So they were stopped, but it
dropped off pretty drastically, yeah. I don't know if everybody heard that. I think you asked, what about electricity usage by the Hanford reactors? I don't know, but I have information on this, and it's sitting at home. Maybe that'll be next year. I know that that would have been used mostly, I guess, for cooling, operating cooling system of the reactors, which was power rating was 250 megawatts thermal. That had to be cooled. But I don't have an answer to your question.